Books with Aaron, Polly, and Wayne. I'm Aaron.
This is Paul.
This is Wayne.
Welcome, guys. Welcome.
Very exciting getting together on the mics this week. It's not a very light comic book week.
Yep.
But it's a big news week.
That's great because, you know, Wayne's recovering from his mono. And as you can see, Andrew is still suffering.
Oh, that's right. From the making out. Yeah. That's right. From all the sex.
Yeah. Well, it's a kissing disease. It's a kissing disease, Paul.
Kissing down there. There's only but so much kissing you can do before it turns into something else, Aaron. Only so much smooching before it turns into the deed.
You know I'm irresistible, so.
That's true.
Exactly. If he's a ginger.
Yeah.
Gingers are, in fact, irresistible. He's like the Karen Gillan of this podcast.
That's exactly what it is. That's right.
Well, you know, there's been a lot of news this week. You know, some of it good, some of it very bad. I'm going to start off on a negative note, gentlemen.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
I'm going to start off on the note that Henry Cavill, the star of the Highlander reboot, has been injured during pre-production training.
Yeah,
production has been delayed until early 2026. I mean,
do we know what the nature of the injury was?
I don't know. I'm assuming it's something during training.
That's what they said, is that it was, you know, as he was training for the shoot. But just, oh man, poor guy. I hate that. I hate anything that delays this Highlander movie, because it's the first real shot at a Highlander sequel that's worth a damn. So.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's written, it's going to be directed by John Wick director Tahelski. They've also casted Russell Crowe as Ramirez, Dave Bautista as the Kurgan, Karen Gillan, or is that Wayne? Also in the movie as Heather, McLeod's mortal wife. You know, they've got a hell of a cast on this movie, but man, it feels almost as cursed as Blade.
We had a news story here in Dallas this week about a hotel manager, motel manager, getting beheaded.
What?
And wow. He was apparently by one of his employees, and, you know, was beheaded at the motel. And, you know, the newscaster is, you know, talking because they hadn't identified, you know, and currently the body has not been identified. And I just, every time I saw that cut, you know, because it was popping up in my social media all morning.
You got the quickening.
Well, I was thinking of that scene from Highlander where it's like, I know his name. And then, you know, the Queen song, Give Me the Prize, rises up. And I kept thinking, I ought to edit a reel on that. I really ought to put that together and post that on IOM Geek. I'm like, that is so tasteless. This some guy actually died today. Maybe I shouldn't do that. And you know what that is, Paul? That's restraint.
That is restraint. Next week, Aaron. Next week.
I'll tell you, I thought really hard about it. You know, a head which at this time has no name. I know his name.
as much as I'm looking forward to Highlander, that's not the Henry Cavill project that I'm most excited about. Voltron is still in post-production, and we don't have a date yet.
Oh, that's right. I forgot they filmed a Voltron movie.
Is he still making that Warhammer movie they've been talking about, or has that ever been greenlit?
I think it was greenlit, but I don't know that I think it's still in pre-production.
It's not listed on his IMDb right now anymore, and it used to be.
Yeah.
It says it's active development, but, like, what does that mean? I don't know.
I think that means that they're still dithering about.
Yeah, probably still trying to break story.
He's got multiple projects that are in post-production that actually will come out, hopefully.
Yeah, he's got a new Enola Holmes movie. I mean, I will say, I really like Henry Cavill. Now, as a person, I don't know. You know,
what's wrong with him as a person?
I don't know. I mean, he seems like a big green egg. He's good for dogs. Like, I have no issue with him. I just don't really know him.
Okay.
But I enjoy his screen presence.
I feel like you're throwing some shade there at Henry.
No, I just don't want to be like, I really like Henry Cavill, and someone comments like, oh, did you know he did in 1979? He blah, 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 blah. And I'm going to be like, oh, fuck, I didn't know.
I feel like you're throwing some shade at Hank.
I did not. I mean, Henry, I'm sorry. I take it back. You are my Superman, really. Okay. So I have no issues with you.
Okay, folks, that's it. Time to cancel Paul.
Yeah. Ah, damn it. Here comes a comment. Did you know 5 years ago Henry Cavill grabbed my ass? But I will say he has struggled to really get something off the ground, since Superman. I mean, the Enola Holmes films, I mean, those have done well, but they're Netflix movies. The Witcher, of course, you know, like, he left the series after a few seasons. I like him on screen. The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
He only left Witcher because he was going to go make the next Superman movie.
Yeah, right? And then that fell through, and then
Got screwed by DC.
Yeah, this Highlander thing continues to be delayed. You know, this Warhammer thing not moving fast.
Speaking of DC, did you see that Skydance, the new owners of Paramount, are having conversations about acquiring Warner?
They're preparing the cash to buy it.
Uh-huh. Well, you know what? I mean, they're feeling empowered right now because they fired
Stephen Colbert.
They fired Stephen Colbert, so now they're like, "Yes, we're just going to buy it all. We got the government on our side."
Yeah, I think that's I think that was part of a longer game. It wasn't just about the initial acquisition of Paramount and CBS. I think it had everything to do with the fact they're coming for everything. Paul, we could actually get a Star Trek Green Lanterns crossover if that happens. I'm just saying, you know, a Star Trek Legion of Superheroes crossover. It could happen, Paul. We're on the cusp.
Here's the thing. I don't feel like, despite the fact that I am enjoying a lot of what's happening in the DC universe right now, I do struggle with, you know, how Warner Brothers has not, in my mind, completely figured out what they're doing with DC. And, you know, I'm, this is not a disparage James Gunn podcast. I know you guys were a fan of Superman, but I still kind of feel like the DCU is a bit aimless to me. I still don't see a vision for that cinematic universe just yet. You know, like, it was announced this week, or this since we last podcasted, that there's, you know, Man of Tomorrow is coming out in 2027. So the next Superman movie, even though James Gunn is saying it's more of a Lex Luthor movie, it's Lex Luthor, you know, teaming up with Superman and, you know, taking on a bigger threat. He didn't clarify who that bigger threat was, but
my guess is still Brainiac. Early.
My guess would be Brainiac. Yeah. You know, and I'm like, we're already getting Superman 2? Like, where's Batman? You know, can I get a Batman movie? Batman.
He hasn't figured out Batman yet.
And that's my thing. Yeah. Figure out Batman. Batman will always make more money than Superman. And I am a Superman. You know, Superman is my favorite superhero. Batman will always make more money. And it feels to me like they just, I don't know, like it feels to me like they're still kind of making decisions loosey-goosey without a specific plan.
Yeah.
Well, and I wonder, because they have the Pattinson Batman out there, they know they can make a Batman movie and make money from it.
I'll tell you,
this universe.
My interest in another Pattinson movie is gone. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I liked the Pattinson movie. I didn't love the Pattinson movie. I felt like it was, you know, perfectly fine.
But the longer between the time they came out and now.
Yeah, I certainly, like, my interest has waned entirely on that interpretation of Batman, because it wasn't different enough, frankly, from the Chris Nolan Batman for me to feel like, okay, this is something new and something exciting. So I'm a little like,
you mentioned how long it's been. It's like, I loved that movie when it came out. I did not like the interpretation of Bruce Wayne at all, but I loved the Batman parts of it, and I loved Penguin and what they did with Riddler, all of that. And now I don't really remember it.
That is my problem. I have found it incredibly forgettable. Now, I did not enjoy it when I watched it for all the reasons that Paul just cited. But I literally couldn't tell you what happened in that movie. I know Batman shows up, he beats some people up, and that's, you know, that is my recollection of the movie.
It's funny because I actually do have a pretty good recollection of it with the whole Riddler thing and that kind of thing. I mean, it's such a beautifully filmed movie. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I have very few issues with it other than the fact that this is kind of crazy to say because, yes, it's a 75-year-old character. It felt a bit same old, same old.
Yeah.
And that's really my main issue with it.
I agree. It was not different enough from the Chris Nolan films.
You know, maybe I'll remember more of what happened when the new Lego game comes out.
Maybe it'll give you a reminder that new Lego game's looking pretty badass.
So the new Lego Batman game takes inspiration from the Nolan films, from the Pattinson film, from the Michael Keaton film. It's like all of them put together from every live action interpretation of Batman. And watching the gameplay takes inspiration from the Arkham games, where you have Batman actually sneaking around, you have detective mode, you have the silent takedowns. It doesn't look like, you know, gameplay wise, like the typical Lego game. And they've even said they have different difficulty levels. So if you want to play the difficulty where you have unlimited lives and all, you can do that, or you can have limited lives and you can fight and actually have it play a lot more like Arkham.
I don't want limited lives. I mean, that seems useless. Give me the unlimited. What was that code back in the day with Doom where you could type it in and it would give you the unlimited lives in Doom?
I know what you're talking about. I don't remember what the code was
ID. It was like ID something. You know, back in the days where you would like, IDDQD for invincibility.
We used to set up our computers at my friend's office and play Doom over the network all weekend. I loved that. That was so much fun. No sleep, all beer and pizza. It was great.
I still remember the Duke Nukem 3D had all of those codes where you had God mode and
those were the glory days.
One of them was like, one of the codes was like, I'm all out of bubblegum.
Yeah,
I'm sure our parents get nostalgic when they talk about Pong.
But for us, it's Duke Nukem
and Doom and Rise of the Triad. God, I loved Rise of the
Triad. Oh, Rise of the Triad was so good.
Yeah, I used to love the guy begging you not to shoot him. No, please, no. Bam. And then when you didn't shoot him, he'd shoot you. Oh, fucker.
Bastard. I mean, there were so many good, 3D shooters back then. Because I also remember Shadow Warrior was a good one. And Quake. And there was one they actually recently announced a remake of. And it's from ID, Heretic. I don't know if you guys remember Heretic. Oh,
Heretic 2, Bloodhaven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they're actually doing a remake or like a, you know, whatever, remaster or whatever of Heretic. And that, you know, that was, for anyone who doesn't know, that was Doom, but you had magic. So instead of gun, you had like a magic staff or would shoot lasers from your hands and shit. That was good stuff.
These are all my early days of computer gaming. I loved all of those. I did. I still remember the weirdest game that came out. And they remade it at one point and actually put it out on Steam. Did either of you ever play Chex Quest?
I've never heard of that.
Like the cereal?
Yes. Chex cereal. No. This was in the AOL sending CDs out everywhere days.
Uh-huh.
Chex cereal sent out a disc that had a game, and it was basically a port of Doom, only you're playing a Czech serial guy fighting the Soggies. So instead of the demons from Doom, they were replaced by creatures that they called Soggies. But the gameplay was Doom's gameplay. First person shooter, running around shooting, you've got your guns and all, except it was an advertisement for cereal that you got free with the cereal.
So funny. The glory days. And if anybody listening to this podcast is under the age of 40, you have no idea what we're talking about.
What are these guys talking about?
Yeah. But anyway, you know, like I do want to, you know, talk about important things, which is that spooky season is here, gentlemen. It's September. I've been tired of holding my tongue. I've been deep in Halloween for about a month now.
Okay. I haven't seen
it. Starts in July.
I haven't seen it on the feed yet. Have you gone and seen the Wyatts? Because I want to see you go see the Wyatts.
I did, in fact, see the Wyatts. You know, I was in Florida a few weeks ago. I saw the new Wyatt, you know, the horrors of the Wyatt Six. It's a haunted house based on the WWE characters, which is, you know, very, very much a great experience if you are into, you know, that whole Wyatt, you know, Bray Wyatt, Wyatt Six storyline. It was very cool. Now, the other night, I went to, you know, I've recently moved to Michigan. And I went to Cedar Point, which is kind of the big theme park up here over in Sandusky, Ohio. It's about a 2-hour drive. And I went there for opening night of their Halloween event, gentlemen. And there's a reason I'm talking about this. So they have a special upcharge experience based on the Conjuring movies. And so if you're not familiar with the Conjuring movies, it's the story of Ed and Lorraine Warren. You know, they basically
real life exorcists
and paranormal investigators. They it's also what introduced
well, they're real, Annabelle. They're real life somethings.
Yeah, real life something. It's you know, it is controversial what they actually were.
Yeah, no, but
in the movies they were investigators.
I love documentaries about the Warrens. Not so much their stuff, but things about them and just how messed up they actually are.
Well, let me tell you. This house, they have a Conjuring experience. It was a special, you know, you have to pay specifically for it. It is a 20-minute experience, and it's interactive. It's a 20-minute interactive experience. So, you know, it's one of those, it's like a normal haunted house, except like you interact with things, the characters interact with you, the characters can touch you, which was, you know, not an experience I've had in a while. Like they'll grab your legs, they'll touch you on the back, and you know, they're not gonna like grab your junk, but you know,
people touching him.
I don't know. It's like, what is it? This personal bubble. you know, like it was cool. I, you know, it was one of those things where, they had, some of the interactivity is that the basic storyline is that you have to get these artifacts have escaped the Warren Museum. And you have to, and you know, all hell's broken loose, and you need to put all these artifacts back in their place, including Annabelle. And so, like, there was one dude in the group who literally had to carry the Annabelle doll through the entire house. And there's like crawling and all sorts of stuff, and it was really cool. I enjoyed it.
So creepy.
It was, you know, and I saw the new Conjuring movie last night. I don't know if you guys have heard that there's an AMC Slash Pass now. So I'm all deep in the horror. The Slash Pass from AMC is if you have an AMC near you, it's $66.66. And it's tickets for 6 upcoming horror movies.
Oh, wow.
Including The Long Walk, you know, that new Stephen King movie that comes out next week, the new Jordan Peele movie, Him. Yep. There's a couple of re-releases coming out, and Good Boy is on the list, so I can go see Good Boy, the horror movie from the dog's point of view.
Yeah,
you'll have to let us know how that one is.
I'm looking forward to that.
Jen says she's hardcore out, but I've got to see it. It's only PG-13, so how bad can it be?
I understand that bad things don't happen to the dog. The dog just gets scared. The bad things are happening to people around the dog. But
well, and that's what I need Paul to verify for me.
Yeah,
I need him to go and come back and tell me that the dog is okay at the
end. You need Paul to be the canary in the coal mine?
Yes.
Yeah.
If Paul comes back and says, you know, the dog's okay at the end.
If Paul comes back with severe trauma, we know that we should not go.
Yeah.
Because the dog didn't make it till the end, or the dog sacrifices itself for the family.
That's what I'm afraid of.
I'll never forget. I was watching that movie Daylight with Sylvester Stallone. I had the dogs in the living room with me while I was watching. There's the scene where the tunnel floods and the dog didn't make it.
No.
And I mean, literally my dog stood up, walked out of the room. And I was like, if this is the kind of shit you're going to watch, you can watch it by yourself. And, you know, then the dog shows up later on, you know, and everything was okay. But I mean, the dogs were like, fuck this movie. I'm not watching this shit anymore.
Oh, the movie that got to me with around that was Butterfly Effect.
Mm. Oh, yeah. That was a good one, too.
It is visceral dog violence in that. But what my dogs reacted to was I'm a big Fallout fan.
Uh-huh.
And
there was a dog in that too, yeah.
I'm playing Fallout 4, and you get Dog Meat is what the name of the dog in the Fallout games. But Dog Meat is your companion for a while, and he'll run around with you, and he barks, and if he gets hit, he whines. And my dogs lost their mind by all the dog sounds coming out of the TV. I could not keep Dog Meat with me as I played the game, because they just lost their mind.
Poor Dog Meat.
Hilarious.
Well, you know, the main reason I bring up Spooky Season, and let me bring it back to comic books so you guys don't think I'm just going off on a tangent, is that Disney has embraced Spooky Season and the four-part event Marvel Zombies is coming to Disney Plus September 24th. I don't know if all four parts will release at the same time or if it's going to start and release weekly.
I think it's
a new animated series.
I think through the week of Halloween.
Yeah, and this is not like it's not like Marvel Zombies like they had during the What If episode.
No, this is Marvel Zombies like they have in the comic books. Like it is TVMA. You know, so you see, you know, they have R-rated trailers where you see violence and stuff like that. I'm all in. I'm very curious about this. And you know, it's got the What If animation style. So it's good animation style, but you know, with some gore. So it should be something different for sure.
Yeah, when I watched the trailer, I was expecting it to be just an extension of the What If episode. And it is not. It is everything the comics were.
Well, and I'm hoping that it opens a door, gentlemen, that if it does well, we can get an animated Death Troopers series too. give me an animated Star Wars zombie series.
You know, I appreciate that Marvel is leaning into the spooky side of the Marvel properties, you know, because, you know, what was it, a year or two ago that we got, you know, the
Werewolf by Night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I understand they're making a sequel to that. You know, now that we're getting, you know, a more serious treatment of the Marvel Zombies is exciting. And, I know they know they've got a bird nest on the ground with, you know, Midnight Suns and Blade and whatnot. I just need them to hurry up and be on with
it. Yeah. Yeah, I do need them to figure out what they're doing with those characters.
Yeah, I actually wonder if they might be better off doing like TVMA cartoons of some of those Midnight Suns properties.
Like, maybe. I mean,
it's that bad to do them live action. Let's do it where you don't have the same budget issues.
Yeah, well, it would certainly be proof of concept. You know, you could demonstrate that you could tell good stories there. But I feel like the original Blade movies did that. I don't understand what their problem is. Just saying.
Yeah, agreed. Well, Marvel Zombies comes out September 24th on Disney Plus. We will definitely talk about it. But, you know, I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast that this week has been some good news, some bad news. You know, it was an interesting week, especially for DC Comics, with the release of Red Hood number 1.
Which I'm the only one who bought.
No, let me clarify. I purchased it.
Oh,
I have not yet read it.
Okay.
So the book, and I'll tell you why. Let me just spoil why. Because of the events that happened this week, and the book being canceled and pulled from shelves, I was like, well, this is going to go nowhere, so I probably shouldn't read this, and especially if I like it, be pissed off as to the cancellation of it. But
Bet it ends on a cliffhanger.
I mean, it's the first issue, right?
Yeah.
So it's written by writer Gretchen Felker Martin.
Who I am not familiar with.
So Gretchen Felker Martin. I'm just trying to get the, you know, it's kind of a long name.
Yeah.
Is an American horror author, film and TV critic. She is transgender. She uses she, her pronouns. You know, previously known for, you know, has done a number of novels and novellas, has written for DC before, but nothing material, a couple of short stories in like DC Pride books, Harley Quinn related stuff, that kind of thing. And this was her really big debut as an ongoing series writer. And this Red Hood was advertised as a mature readers yet in continuity title featuring Red Hood and the Huntress. And I picked it up, you know, the cover, pretty badass looking cover. But, you know, what happened this week is that, you know, political activist, I guess is probably the right way to describe Charlie Kirk, was shot and murdered this week. And Gretchen Felker Martin posted some rather harsh statements. On, I don't know if it was X, or just social media in general.
Yeah.
About Charlie Kirk, not so much about, you know, the assassin, but about Charlie Kirk himself. And, you know, the DC announced that at DC Comics, we place the highest value on our creators and community and affirm the right to be peaceful individual expression and confirm the right to peaceful individual expression of personal viewpoints, posts or public comments that can be viewed as promoting hostility or violence are inconsistent with DC standards of conduct. And they fired Gretchen Felker Martin. They canceled the next two issues that had already been solicited, and they're asking retailers to return issues, you know, any unsold issue one, and they will reimburse them for not just those issues, but actually issues already sold, copies already sold of the book.
They not only have said that they pulled from the shelves, they're also pulling the Gotham stapler for Batman Day as well, because it had pages from Red Hood in it.
Ah, I did not read that part. Okay.
All of this happened within hours on the same day.
Yeah, of release day.
Right? Of release. So it was released Wednesday. Charlie Kirk was shot on Wednesday. This book was canceled. The writer was fired. And DC had said, hey, we're going to buy back anything that you haven't sold. And we will refund you for anything that was sold. And we're not going to publish issues 2 and 3, which have already been solicited. All within hours. It is amazing to me how quickly DC responded to this. And just to be clear, the writer's comments, essentially, the first comment was thoughts and prayers, you Nazi bastard, or Nazi bitch, whatever it was, something like that. And then the other one was, I hope that the bullet is okay after touching Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
And I don't know if those were the only two comments. Those are the two comments I saw. And, you know, I'm not going to say that DC was right or DC was wrong. The thing that I'm going to say is, wow, that was so fast. You know, I mean, so normally
a little corporations bit more has come out since then because she did a interview.
Oh, did she? With whom?
Yep. With the Comics Journal. And she said that when they originally hired her in 2024, she told them, you know, my social media is going to continue to be, you know, very political, and that you're going to have people that want to come after my head and yours. And they said initially that was okay, and they're not going to try to limit it. In the last few weeks, apparently, before the book released, people had been going over her social media, looking at comments she's made about Israel, Gaza, and all these other things, and they had already been getting pushback, and they had been talking to her about trying to cut back on her social media activities. There had been ongoing conversations and concern with them before this happened, apparently. So I think they were watching and waiting, and they just, when it happened, they had already been thinking we might have a problem.
So it sounds like, I mean, in my mind, have that's a hiring loaded.
Problem. Yeah. You know, like in my mind, like, you know, you got to do some research on the folks you hire. And I'm not saying that Gretchen, yeah, I mean, like, I've obviously believe in freedom of speech. We say some shit on this podcast. But you know, if you are trying to keep the temperature down in today's political environment, mm-hmm. As an organization, Warner Brothers, DC Comics, however you want to slice it, I do think that you do your research before you assign a high profile book to, you know, to perhaps a controversial author, knowing that, you know, to your point, Wayne, you know, these types of posts are not necessarily new, right? I mean, I think, you know, we've certainly seen social media affect people's work lives in far less publicly facing positions, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, people who go online and post stupid shit, you know, sometimes get fired from their jobs for that stupid shit. So,
well, and it's sad, you know,
I do think this is interesting.
Some people do grow, and yeah, you get, I mean, things we've seen like
that, for sure.
James Gunn got fired from Guardians of the Galaxy. He got rehired, but for comments that he had made, you know, decade ago. And he came out and said, you know, I have changed as a person. I don't approve of that kind of comedy anymore. But people do change. And when you pull up these quotes someone may have made 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I mean, I have to admit, when some of that happened, like Gunn getting fired, I went back through all of my social media over the years to see what do I have out there that somebody could come back on. And mostly it's just Snyder.
Oh, don't worry, Wayne. I took screenshots of everything that you posted. So you're good. I wouldn't recommend running for president.
Yeah, no, it's all on the Internet Archive. Yeah. But no, I'm good. Mostly what I've said are just bad things about Snyder.
Ah. Oh.
And now your mom.
And my mom.
But you're okay with it.
So I was saying earlier, I'm just amazed at how quickly DC moved. Sounds like they were ready to go. Yeah. Sounds like they were poised to when it finally went over their perceived line. You know,
it made more sense when I read that interview because I had the same reaction. It's same day.
Yeah.
They canceled now, same day.
Knowing that she's trans, I didn't know that until Paul shared that.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I understand her position a little bit more based on some of the things, you know, Charlie Kirk had said about trans people.
Interview, she also says, you know, she stands by what she said. However, it was a moment of poor impulse control, and she is sorry that her co-creators have to pay the price.
Yeah, and that's the big shame here, because, guys, this book is great.
Is it really?
It really is. It's great. It reminds me of the best.
Right, now we're canceled, Aaron. Now we're canceled.
It reminds me of the best of the Nightwing books, you know, of his work, of his stories in Bloodhaven. You know, this story takes place with Jason going out to a very New Orleans type of city. Though it's not New Orleans, it's I forget the name of it. It's like New Angelique, I think is what it's called. But it is well told. It is gritty as all get out. In fact, you know, the book opens up first page with a guy, you know, FaceTiming his own suicide. And he's a cop. And, you know, Red Hood's in town to investigate this because there's been a series of these cop suicides all kind of the same way. But it is, I mean, I cannot begin to tell you how lovely the artwork is. It's very Dan Moore. And the artwork is by... trying to get the screen larger so I can actually read that. Jeff Spokes, who is somebody I'm not familiar with. Artwork here is just insanely great. I like I said, I can't get over how good this book is. Of course, you know, it's a first issue, so, you know, you've got some dangling threads at the leading into the next book. I hate that this book got canceled. I hate everything that happened this week. Don't get me wrong. But as a comic book fan, this is a really nice book. I really liked it. I think it's a strong beginning. It does what a first issue needs to do. It makes you interested in issue two. It's got, as Paul said, a banger cover on it. I mean, everything about this book is just terrific. And it's got great atmosphere, the visual storytelling, the narrative storytelling. I think it really centers Jason strongly as the lead. And he makes him a lead that's quite as despicable as you're used to with Jason. I dug the book. I dug it a lot. The only objection that I had about the book is Jason's complaining about how hot and type of town, and he's walking around with his hood and leather jacket on. Like, hey, buddy, put on a t-shirt.
Yeah, maybe take off your hood.
Yeah, short sleeves. Yeah. maybe that. You know, and some natural fibers. They'll breathe better. But but yeah,
well, it'll never be referenced again, Aaron. Never ever.
So on the other side, beyond the fact that I think it's a great book, I think, guys, doesn't this make this book an instant collector's item? Absolutely. If you've got a physical copy of this book, yeah, you gotta. If you've got this thing, you need to be bagging and boarding it. You know, if I was someone who did that anymore, I would have absolutely have been at the comic shop on Wednesday and tried to grab me, a couple of print copies, because, you know, the issue with comics these days is too many people are saving them, and there's not enough rarity. This is one of those nice ways to, you know, find that rarity. These comics will be worth something.
You know, the last time I rushed out to buy a physical comic, particularly a special physical comic that I was able to get, because I wasn't able to get that was the recent Superman one. I wasn't able to ever find a copy.
Oh yeah, the prestige format one.
Yeah, and I wanted it, but I, you know, could not get a copy locally.
Yeah.
So the last time before that was the time when they put Batman's junk in a book.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
I bought the physical copy and I put it on a shelf.
God, that's funny.
Well, and the one thing that I'll say is the book is no longer available digitally. So thankfully, I have it downloaded to my device to read.
Oh, so if I can no longer purchase it,
I don't know.
I wonder if I'll get a credit if I remove it from my. Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, right now it is on my device downloaded, but I can no longer purchase it. But I recommend it in my library, even if I
recommend reading it, Paul. I recommend reading it because it was very enjoyable.
Okay, I will give it a read and I'll be pissed off. So
yeah,
that'll work.
Yeah,
I wonder if you can get a refund for it.
I bet you can.
Yeah,
probably. I'm not going to because I like it and I'm going to hold on to it. But
I was about to say that means, Paul, you can read it and then get your refund.
There you go.
I could.
After you've enjoyed it.
Well, hey, Paul.
Yes, sir.
What's coming out next week?
Well, not a lot from the big two next week, but there is a decent amount of books coming out next week, including X-Men issue 22, which sounds like a weird random issue to reference, but this is the dawn of the Age of Revelation. You know, I had talked about Age of Revelation number one when it came out, which was a preview of the upcoming crossover event that's a spiritual successor to the Age of Apocalypse. Revelation, I think, is the son of Apocalypse. It's also, you know, the anniversary of that storyline. So, you know, they have this new big event. And so they are going to have a lead up to it in next week's issue of X-Men, issue 22. A little shout out for Wayne. Void Rivals, issues 23, which I know we're still not reading Void Rivals. I still keep saying I want to, but features the Skybound Universe debut of Wheelie, everyone's favorite rhyming Autobot. But let's talk about some issue ones that are coming out next week, because next week is certainly a week of issue ones. Star Trek: The Last Starship comes out.
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, I'm like, that looks good.
Yeah, what is Star Trek: The Last Starship?
So the I'm going to say the clone of Captain Kirk, a resurrected Captain Kirk, has been resurrected right at the time of the burn, which is a major event that is referred to, is kind of the
in Star Trek Discovery,
yeah. So this is a comic book. So they've kind of wrapped up all their previous stuff, the Cisco stuff and all, the lore war and all that is all done. Now IDW is kind of moving into this continuity with The Last Starship number one.
Yeah, I'm interested in it. The artwork I've seen looks good. I'm less enthused that it's a Star Trek Discovery tie-in.
Yeah, I'm a little continuity. I'm cautious, but I will pick up the first issue.
Same.
Now, from Image Comics, we get Skinbreaker number one, which is a new book from Robert Kirkman and David Finch, which is kind of I don't want to call it a Swords and Sandals, but it's kind of a Swords and Sandals, a story. It's a brand new story. It's like a brand new fantasy from that creative team, that superstar creative team. You may check out issue one for that as well. Issue one of Conan the Barbarian, Scourge of the Serpent, comes out. It's the new Conan epic, and I really liked the last one, Blackstone one. Conan of Samaria has encountered Stygian sorcery and snake-scent creatures many times in his grand adventures, but he has never faced the true unspeakable power of Set until now. Three stunning supernatural stories will weave together to answer the chilling question of past and present. What is Set's grand plan for humanity, and now it's begun, can it be stopped? And so this is the start of that new epic, Conan the Barbarian, Scourge of the Serpent, issue one.
It can't be stopped.
I don't know. I'm sure. I have a feeling, spoilers, it can be.
No, it can't be stopped. Not even that our favorite Cimmerian can stop it, Paul. It can't be stopped.
We'll see.
Don't even try.
Don't even try. From IDW, I don't know if this is Wayne's thing. I'm only mentioning it because it may be. Street Sharks number one. The first of five Jawsome issues, a new Street Sharks comic. The first Street Sharks comic in more than 20 years.
I watched the cartoon growing up, but I will not be picking that one up.
Oh, come on, Wayne. You got to get yourself some Street Sharks.
Loving the Captain Planet book that's been coming out, though. But
Well, hey, I mean, Street Sharks could be just as good. We wouldn't have Vin Diesel in our lives if it wasn't for Street Sharks, because that's where he got his start on the commercials for that. So just saying, support the family. From Image Comics, Viking Moon number one, which is a new book featuring Vikings versus werewolves. Sounds right up my alley. Joe Pruitt and artist Marcello Frusen. And I'm not familiar with either one, but Vikings versus werewolves sounds right up my alley. So I will certainly be looking at the preview pages of that. And from Mad Cave Studios, which we've had, some good, some bad, feelings towards, but they have a new The Phantom issue one coming out next week as well. So lots of, I don't know, actually. It does not say which Phantom will be featured here.
I might be interested in that. I'll check that out.
Yeah, check it out.
I sometimes get preview books from Mad Cave, so I'll keep an eye out.
But fingers crossed.
I will look at the preview pages of it and make my decision, because I want to love Phantom books. I love the character.
Yeah.
Just so many of the books have not been good.
I have complained about this to Paul in the past, but one of the worst comic strips, like a daily newspaper comic strip, is the Phantom comic strip. Nothing ever happens. Ever. I mean, just like, are all they gonna do talk? In the comics, the Phantom shoots things. When is that going to happen? I've been reading this thing for 52 weeks and not a goddamn thing has happened.
They're still in the kitchen.
That's right. They're talking about dinner, for Christ's sake. Yeah. Nothing. Not a thing. Anyhow, well, we want to know which book you canceled this week. give us a shout at ideology@gmail.com. And if we use your comments on the show, you could win a coveted value. A surprise.
And you can also hit us up on social media, IOM Geek on Facebook, Instagram, and X.
What a deal. Well, hey guys, let's try and talk about some actual comics next time.
Oh, we don't know. There's actually you know, I'm gonna talk about this real quick before we wrap up. I'm gonna let the viewers know that we may have gotten a preview book.
Ooh, a preview book
for one of my most anticipated books of the year.
Yeah,
from the I think it's AWA Studios.
It is
The Ultimate Oz Universe from superstar writer Cullen Bunn, art by Mike Diodato Jr. Their new reimagination of the Oz universe. It doesn't come out until November, but we'll be talking about it very soon. So
it's a very, very, very pretty book. Very pretty book.
Yeah. So. And it's got a foreword by Elton John. So that can't be bad.
Yeah. And Axel Alonso.
Because they're in the same category.
They're both superstars, Paul.
I don't know that Axel Alonso is really a superstar.
All right. Well, you guys have a great week, and we will chat with you again next time.
Bye.
Podcast theme music graciously provided by Mark Andrew Pope. For more information, visit markandrewpope.com. Funny Books with Aaron and Polly is a production of ideologyofmadness.com. No Spider-Man clones were harmed in the production of this podcast.